Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, August 8th. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you today?
I'm doing well, too. Thanks.
Good, good, good. Now, the Missouri Association for Creation has an event coming up soon, correct?
They do. They have their monthly meeting, which is this coming Monday, August the 8th. August 11, August 11 at the Family Vision Library, which is located at 2020 Parkway Drive in St. Peter's, Missouri. At 7 p.m., they're going to see a DVD. The DVD is entitled Radioactive and Radiocarbon Dating. So it's all about radiometric dating and how it works and its pluses and minuses. And it will feature Dr. Andrew Snelling, who has his Ph.D. in geology from the University of Sydney, Australia. He's very, very knowledgeable on these topics. He works with Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum. It should be a very good DVD. So again, those who are in the St. Louis area, it's Missouri Association for Creation having its monthly meeting Monday, August 11th at Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive in St. Peter's, Missouri. For those who cannot attend, you can order the DVD from Answers in Genesis. It's at their website, so you can see the same DVD. Go to answersingenesis.org, and you can look for the store, and they have all kinds of resources, their books and DVDs. Very, very helpful.
Well, very good. So that's Monday, August 11th. And what time was that again?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Very good. Well, what do you have for us? Sometimes we talk about things that are actually on this planet when it comes to matters of creation, but this one is, again, outside the planet, huh?
Indeed. Perhaps our listeners have been paying attention to the news, and a big news story the last few days has been about the Rosetta spacecraft launched by the European Space Agency 10 years ago. And it's astonishing. You know, this is an example of observational science, working science, where you know, people are able to make rockets and computers and do amazing things here, where think of the mathematical calculations it would take in order to make sure that a spacecraft you launched 10 years ago could finally catch up with a comet. And the comet is 67P/Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Hard to say. It's a Russian hyphenated name there. Maybe we'll just call it 67P. The comet has a 6.5-year orbit around the sun, and they launched this space probe 10 years ago, and now it has finally caught up with the comet and is supposed to orbit the comet. And if you've seen pictures, it looks like a big, almost rubber ducky-shaped rock that's in space, and so the space probe is orbiting it, traveling along with it, and they're hoping at some point here, before too long, to launch a lander from this space probe that the European Space Agency sent out there, the Rosetta, that would actually land on the surface of this comet and try to do some experiments to understand what it's made of, and particularly as it gets closer to the sun, which is supposed to happen in December of 2015, I think the article says, then they'll pay attention to how, as it heats up, it gets a tail and what sorts of things come from the comet itself as it heats up and the tail is produced. So interesting observational science there. So as Bible-believing creationists, we don't at all disagree with good science. Now, where does the questionable stuff come in? Well, the articles about this, and there's been TV and radio journalism about this, as well as print media journalism about it, and eventually they all come around to why we're doing this is so we want to understand the origin of the solar system, the origin of the universe, and the origin of life. In fact, one of the news programs I saw said the origin of you. You see, where did you come from? Well, you come from stardust, and so we believe that with the, you know, the comets may have had something to do with where life originated on Earth, whether it's trying to explain how Earth has so much water, or maybe the special building blocks for living organisms chemically, were seeded upon the Earth by comets, and so they go into all of this kind of stuff, trying to explain the existence of the universe and the existence of life, especially human beings, without believing God, without believing God's word. And so that's where we would part company with these folks and say, well, it can be interesting in its own right that we can build rockets and make computers and do the calculations to figure out how to send a man-made space probe to a comet and examine it and try to analyze its chemical makeup and stuff like this. But then to do that thinking, that's going to explain the universe and the origin of the universe and the origin of life so that you don't need God, that is utter folly. And you know, that's not observable stuff. So you have to realize, our listeners need to realize as you're listening to this, okay, you find a comet, you can analyze the chemical makeup of it, that doesn't prove anything about the unobserved past. It's not observable, testable, repeatable to go back however many millions and billions of years and think, well, if we know this about this comet, then that explains everything else. In fact, it's kind of intriguing to me. The article that was in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Thursday, August 7th, if you read all the way to the end of the article, first of all, they're talking about how wonderful it will be to examine this because it will answer all these questions about the origin of the universe, the origin of life. But then it says, let's see, comets are notoriously unpredictable, and no two seem to be exactly alike. Even as the Rosetta team celebrates this amazing victory, there is still much uncertainty in the weeks and months ahead. Yeah, exactly. So even as you admit comets are not all alike, how can you extrapolate from the one comet that you are examining here and say, now we've unlocked the key to all understanding of the origin of the universe and the origin of life from this one comet, and then in the next breath you say, but comets aren't all alike, they're all different. So much for your extrapolation. Again, and that's what happens when people get into origins science, where instead of sticking with admitting we can observe things in the present, but we don't know about the distant past. And if you're going to make the distant past even that more distant by believing in millions and billions of years without evidence for that, and then but say the universe originated billions of years ago, you're really on shaky ground there when you look at something that you can observe here and now and try to extrapolate back, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 billion years ago and think that explains the universe and where it came from. It explains where life came from. It explains where water on Earth came from. That's really doubtful.
The point that you mentioned earlier that all of these, you know, comets are all different, that the path, things can change about them, that they're no two the same. How can you even try to consider that as a basis for studying the origin of the Earth, the origin of mankind?
Exactly. It's part of their religious belief system, philosophical belief system, worldview that excludes God, excludes the Bible, and believes in naturalism. Everything is, you know, it's naturally occurring. There's no supernatural. There's no God, no creator. And also, there's uniformitarianism as part of this too. To believe that, you know, what is what always has been, and what the rates at which things happen now is the rates at which things have always happened, and this kind of thing, and that looking at things in the present is the key to understanding the past. And they really, it's a belief system. It's a religious, philosophical worldview rather than true science. You know, so making rockets and observing distant objects in our solar system this way that's observational science, and it's based upon, you know, the reason that God gave us, our brains, our ability to think, and our senses. You know, we can do amazing things. But then to think that that allows us to go into the distant past and understand where we came from is faulty reasoning and very much a part of mankind's fall into sin, where we think that we're smarter than God, smarter than His Word, and that we can understand things that it's not even logical, let alone, you know, properly mm-hmm. respectful of our almighty God and creator. And why do we care? You know, why do we care about these things? Well, we care ultimately because of the connection to the truthfulness of God's word and the main message of the word of God, which is our salvation in Jesus Christ. And, you know, very often what happens here is that people reject the Bible, thinking we can explain everything, where things came from. We don't need to believe the fairy tales of Genesis about the creation and the fall into sin and Adam and Eve and the flood of Noah's day and the miracles. And pretty soon, you know, when Genesis falls, as we heard a couple weeks ago, everything else falls with it. Some people have fallen away from the faith, made shipwreck the faith by believing the lie of evolutionary theory, and then being tempted to doubt and finally not believe the Bible, even the very central message of the Bible of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who died for us and rose again. So that's why we care about this and want to help fortify people. And that maybe ties into the other thing I would like to talk about today, if we have a little bit of time left.
Sure, we got about 2 minutes, yeah.
Okay, it's just about time for people to be going back to school. Mm-hmm. So, and there's all kinds of schooling, right? People go to public school, many, probably the mm-hmm. majority go to public schools. There are many that go to our Lutheran schools or other Christian schools, and there are homeschoolers too. And you want to learn all different subject areas, including science. How do you do this in a world where the prevailing view is evolution and molecules demand evolution? Well, there are wonderful resources out there. And what we would say to our listeners who are Christians and are concerned about their children and grandchildren is, don't be afraid for your children to learn the prevailing view. They should learn the prevailing view and understand that we don't agree with that. That's not what's in agreement with the Bible, but they should learn it and understand it, not making a straw man, but, you know, teach it accurately so they understand this is the prevailing view. Now, let's look at it critically. Why don't we believe it? Why don't we believe it because of what the Bible says? Why don't we believe it because of what good observational science says? And help them realize that go behind the stories, behind the headlines. And when you read all the information, you realize, oh, the fossil evidence doesn't really support what they said it did. The headline was wrong. Or this space probe can't really show us what they're alleging it will show us, because that doesn't make any sense. And help people to think these things through all the way. So I think that's what we would like to say to our listeners, is not that we should protect our children from ever hearing about evolution. No, they need to understand that's the prevailing worldview, and we're going to live in that culture. You're going to run into it sooner or later. So be sure they understand it correctly, how it is taught in the public schools, in the public realm, but then think through it critically, examine it in the light of God's word, examine it, you know, with good science, observational science, and use the resources of answersingenesis.org and similar organizations like Institute for Creation Research that have wonderful resources available that can be used in the homeschool situation, in the Christian school situation, or if you're dealing with public school children, you know, pay attention to what's in the textbook. Talk about these things at dinner time, and, you know, be with your student and help them with their homework, help them to think things through. And when they run into conflict with a fellow student or a teacher, you know, do so respectfully, mm-hmm. lovingly, but firmly. Help your student and other people understand the truth, and for, you know, your family especially, bring them back to the truth of God's word and the gospel, that, you know, we believe that the God who created us is the God who promised and in the fullness of time sent his Son, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered and died on the cross to atone for our sins, who was raised on the third day, who gives us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. That is what it's really ultimately all about. And help your children and grandchildren to understand these things by making use of these wonderful resources. And listen to KFUO Creation
right.
Club. And if you have a question, give us a call.
That's right. That's right. KFUO, KFUO.org. Pastor Worth, thanks so much for being our guest as usual and coming in and talking about Creation Club, all these creation matters. Thanks for your time this morning.
That's my pleasure.
God's blessings. We'll talk next week.
Very good.
Coming up next, we've got morning prayer. Hope you can join us for that right after AP Radio News and the forecast.